Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. I am your host, Jennifer Jensen, alongside
Staff Sergeant Stefan Alvarez.
And today we are here with NSA Panama City's XO, aka, for all you Air Force folks, Deputy Commander Brandon Baxter.
Hey,
good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for getting the name right, too, by the way. It's usually like Naval Support Academy or something crazy like that, so thank you.
Yes. Yes, I have respect for my Navy brethren, so you're welcome. Okay, XO Baxter, let's ask some questions. So most of our listeners are going to be Air Force, right? I'm sure there's going to be a couple Navy listening in on this. So for us Air Force people, I feel like we're so engulfed in Air Force world. Mm-hmm. Not all the career fields in the Air Force get to mingle with Navy people the way that PA does, because we go to tech school with Navy people. Oh, and we train with them. So we get a little more involved with Navy and we know a little bit more. But so for those that do not know in our Air Force world, what is the main mission or purpose of NSA Panama City?
So NSA Panama City is basically the landlords of the base. So CNIC got stood up, and that's Commander Navy Installations Command. And so they put people in charge to run all the base services, make sure facilities are good, make sure utilities are working, housing is adequate, childcare is provided. So we're basically taking away all the concerns or worries of the warfighters that are training there. We're trying to take as much off their plate so that they can focus on their missions. So that's kind of what we do at NSA Panama City. Our mission is to, you know, engage, enable, and sustain the warfighters. So that's what we're doing on the NSA Panama City side.
So you're taking care of the people, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what we do is NSA Panama City proper.
Gotcha. And so like your main mission, or besides taking care of the people, would be like the dive school, right?
No, that's not a mission for us, but our main mission is to basically, you know, enable them to do their mission. So whatever they need, if there's an issue with their facilities or the piers or just anything of that nature, we're there to provide housing for their students, the, you know, galley facilities, things like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Galley. We just say chow hall.
Chow hall, yep.
I love the different.
Defect, chow hall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've been to the dive school, obviously, like it's on your base.
It is, yep,
that's
I have been.
Pretty fascinating what they do there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to dive stuff, but they do, because we want to invite, you know, one of the Navy divers to actually come and talk about it, because
that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever got to partake?
I did a VIP dive a few months back, and that was probably one of the best experiences of my life.
So, really?
Yeah, they walk you through the entire, like, you get a little tour, you go into the dive shop. They show you how the helmet works, and then they put the helmet on with your wetsuit in your tank, and you just drop down there in the pool. I think we were I don't want to exaggerate it, but it was it was 12 feet down.
Okay.
They let us walk around the entire pool, and it goes down even further. I forgot how deep that pool goes because I was too busy like just being amazed by being underwater and still breathing and all that kind of stuff. So that was good. That was a very fun experience. What those guys do is very challenging, and I take my hats off to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think back to the movie, and now I can't think of the title of it.
Oh, yeah.
With all the divers.
Oh, with, was it Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's not a...
And you're like, that's nuts. Or is that not a realistic expectation?
No, it is. Actually, his son, I think he used to actually come to the dive school. I don't know if that's a fact or not, but I'm told that he would come to the dive school.
That's pretty cool. So yeah. All Navy divers go through NSA PC.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep. They not just Navy though.
Yeah,
Men of Honor. That's what it was.
Yeah, so, that's it.
Men of Honor. Yep. It's not just Navy. They have Air Force, Army. They even have some civilians. They have Marine Corps. All those go through there, I think, with the exception of the Army Special Forces and the Navy SEALs, because they're out in Coronado.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's a legit, it's a tough school, and it's very intense.
Yeah. I did not know until we moved here and I learned a little bit more about NSA that our PJs go there.
Mm-hmm.
And our PJs are like our elite. They're the cool kids of the Air Force, right?
Nice. Okay.
So that's pretty cool that we actually have Air Force. And there's actually like Air Force instructors over there too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, there is.
Yeah. So that we are mingling just like at our tech school with different branch, you know, leadership. That's mm-hmm. pretty cool. And that's important. And not only are you guys like doing trainings, or our two branches are doing trainings, we also, Commander Mosey, you and Colonel Watkins and Colonel Cable, you guys all work together to collectively do better for the military personnel in our area.
Yeah,
whether
absolutely.
It's PC or Panama City Beach, like you guys are fighting the fight for all the military personnel and the families.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about, maybe not like get into the weeds of it, but like what are some of the things that are on the table right now?
So, I mean, just first and foremost, because like you just said, a lot of people don't even know we're over there. So what we do is we just collaborate. We open up our services. I mean, I think we just had a Tyndall team win our volleyball contest or our volleyball tournament on base. And so, I mean, just simple things like, you know, CDCs for childcare or the youth programs. We have a number of Tyndall folks in there. The MWR programs, our hobby shop for cars, just trading services, offering services and making them available, freely available to everyone, no matter what the service. And so just bringing awareness to the Air Force side that, hey, we're over here if you live on the beach side. Our housing, our everything is open to you just like it is for the Navy. And we'll take care of you.
Nice. Is there any like big scope things happening? I know that the BAH rate, that was a hot topic.
Yeah, yeah. That's one that we're just doing our due diligence on. We just want to make sure that we're getting it right here for the sailors and for the airmen and for the guardians that are here over at the Coast Guard station on base at NSA. And even for, you know, all our other sister services that are on base as well. We just want to make sure that our sailors and airmen and everybody aren't struggling to make a living or to make, you know, make ends meet.
Yeah. I think everybody's struggling at this point in time. But it's good to know that leadership is, you know, going to bat when it comes to things at like congressional levels,
absolutely,
to better the lives of their airmen. So without, you know, that stability, our airmen wouldn't be able to perform their missions. They wouldn't be able to take care of your sailors. They wouldn't be able to fly our F-35s. So it's
absolutely
super crucial for leadership to get involved and be advocates for the smaller man on the totem pole.
Exactly. You got to take care of them.
Yeah.
The Coast Guard, they're essentially the search and rescue unit for this sector. I forget what sector they're in, but they're in charge of all the search and rescue response for a very large area, I think. And so that's what they're just housed there. They're inside our fence line, but they actually own their property. Mm-hmm. So all of our base services actually stop at their property line.
Huh.
So it's kind of funny because, you know, they're right in the middle. So it's like you get there and they stop and then they cut their own grass. And then as soon as you get on the other side of the property, base contract services pick back up again. And so, but they own the land.
They cut their own grass.
They cut their own grass. They do everything, and they're a small detachment, but they have a lot of work. And but yeah, they're doing their thing over there.
So you have been here for about 2 years, right?
Yes.
And you're about to leave.
I am.
Sad day. So what would you think? Just one. What do you feel like was your biggest accomplishment while you were at NSAPC?
It's got to be the people, the sailors and the folks that I've been able to help since I've been here. I'm just a big proponent of high morale, good culture, civilian and military. And so I do believe that NSA Panama City has a phenomenal culture right now. I think that we have a lot of buy-in, people that actually care about the base, want to take care of it, want to see the right things happen. And I think that takes an intentional and deliberate effort by leadership to foster the right environment for their people to flourish and succeed. So whenever I see a sailor succeed or a civilian attain a new certification or someone pick up rank or anything in that nature where they're bettering themselves or their people, I take that as a huge win. We even had one of our own get selected to go to a region for our region at CNIC, which is Commander Navy Region Southeast. She was selected as the one person to go to a leadership course out of all the bases in Region Southeast, which is amazing. So, you know, seeing wins like that, seeing our fire department become one of the highest scoring fire departments in the region, seeing our security department do the same thing, our port ops. And so that's what I mean. Like, the sailors are performing at a high level. They're happy. They're enjoying their time here. That to me is the mark of a good leader. You spend most of your time at work. These are your people. And so if they're having a good time, if they're succeeding and doing well in life, then you've done your job.
Yeah. That's good. You are a good leader. I've heard good things.
I appreciate it.
So you said that you went to the dive school. So as a commander, you get to go witness all these cool things that are happening on base, right? Like you and Commander Mosey get in the weeds of it. Like, you want to be in full force, like what these people do on a day-to-day basis. So yesterday you got to go be a firefighter for a day. How was that?
That was very tiring, but also amazing. So we got to go on the live fire trainer and throw on all our firefighting gear. We got a helmet and all that good stuff, and we went in there and fought the fire. They even rescued like a dummy while we were in there, pulled him out. And then we got to ventilate the space using a fire hose, which was a lot of fun. I tell you, I give a lot of respect to firefighters because that was hard work. A lot of all that gear, carrying that that water hose, that was a lot.
Yeah.
So it was good. Good time, though. I enjoyed it. Definitely tired afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate the way Jared smells after he's been at a fire. It is so bad.
Man. I'm surprised you let him in the house. My wife would make me undress in the garage or something.
I mean, like, they usually go back and, you know, at the station, they'll shower and change, but you could still smell it. It doesn't even matter if they go immediately wash their clothes. That smell of fire lingers in the laundry for weeks.
Oh,
I don't know what it is, but it is nasty.
Do you have to wash all his stuff like separate from yours?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Or I tell him, like, don't even bring it home.
Just wash it at the firehouse.
Yeah. You and all your smelly brethren can stay at the firehouse. But yeah, no, he used to bring it home and I was like, mm-mm. Yeah. We're done. There is nothing sexy about a firefighter and the way he smells after he's fought a fire.
Hey, big respect to those guys, though, because I'll tell you, being in that fire, I got so tired. And I was just like, if this was a real situation, I mean, I'm sure adrenaline would have helped. But those guys, what they do is definitely tough. The adrenaline, I'm sure, helps. But they got a tough job, and they can't even slack, because if they slack, someone dies.
Right.
And so I can appreciate that wholeheartedly. And shout out to Jared on deployment right now. If you hear this, I'm pulling for you, man.
It's okay. He doesn't listen to me. He doesn't support me.
Darn it. You got to make him listen to this one.
Okay.
Hey, can I say something, though?
Yeah.
You mentioned that how we're out and about and kind of like involved, and I just wanted to kind of point that out as an example of, you like, that's intentional.
Yeah.
And the reason we do that is you can't help people unless you know what they're going through, right? And so if you're not understanding what their day-to-day looks like, and when they bring problems to you or complaints, you might think that they're just whining or whatever the case may be, but once you've been in their shoes and you can see it from their perspective,
yeah,
their ask makes so much more sense to you then, and then you're able to actually go advocate appropriately with the right amount of, you know,
knowledge
yeah. and just conviction,
yeah,
to actually get it done. So that's why we do that. It's definitely intentional. We have full days, and but we run hard for a reason. It's not just because we just want to be a firefighter,
yeah,
or we just want to be a diver, we just want to see what they do. Like, we went through that, and now I have a greater appreciation for what firefighters go through every day. So when they come and ask me for something, I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah,
now I can definitely get you what you need, or when the divers ask me for something, then I'm like, oh, I get it. Let me go get you what you need.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Colonel Cable actually does that. I think all of our leadership does it too. And initially, I'm sure most of the shops are like, why? Why does he want to come do this? But what you said is fantastic. Like, they want a better understanding of the people that they are, you know, responsible for. They want to make sure that you're getting the things you need and that, you know, they have a better understanding of who they're leading. Mm-hmm. So that's fantastic. I think all leaders should have to do that. Yeah, even exactly. If you're in charge of guys that are like cleaning porta potties, like, you should be the one going in too to see like, oh, this kind of is not the best job in the world. Maybe I need to advocate for better equipment or something, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's, the world would be a better place if all leaders would do that, but that's just my two cents. So as you plan to exit the Panama City area, what would be the best piece of advice that you would pass on to anyone, whether it's an enlisted sailor that wants to become an officer or a low-ranking officer that wants to be a commander? What's the best piece of advice you would give them?
I would tell them they can do it all, that we're typically our own limitations. I think sometimes we put ourselves in a box, we color inside the lines because that's what we're told to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is no box. I think you can go after it all, get after it all, and all you need to do is just sit down, make a realistic plan, and then start, you know, eating that elephant one bite at a time. And so as you're walking down the path of success, don't forget to enjoy the journey, you know, because you may think that getting to a typical rank or something is the ultimate goal, but once you get there, it'll be something else. And so, you know, you just have to have a vision. Like, you know, what is your vision in life? And the difference between a vision and a vision can't be attained. So if your vision is to be the, you know, the to lead, like our vision at NSA Panama City is to lead the entire enterprise in how we engage, enable, and sustain our warfighters. We want to be the example for all bases in the world. And that's a vision. And so that's what we get after every day. It's not something that we can ever attain because it's not a tangible goal, but it's when we take care of our actions, when we, you know, carry out our day, we do that with our vision in mind of being the very best. And so, and a goal you can attain, right? So if I wanted to be an 04, then that's a goal. And then once I attain it, I have to set another goal.
Right.
So just knowing that difference between a vision and a goal and continually driving towards your vision. And visions, right, they open up your people's mindset. It opens up their imaginations because now you don't need to micromanage. Like if I told you, I just want you to be the best PAO in the Air Force. I want you to lead by example for the entire enterprise. Now you got to find opportunities to be that example.
Yeah.
You got to find opportunities to be out in front of the other bases and show them, hey, use my template, use this, use that. You know, I'm the example for you to follow. And you have to do that constantly. And so it keeps your fire going instead of, you know, just one thing. Like, I just want to be this or that for this one period of time. So
those are good inspirational words, Brandon. Oh, I'm sorry. XO Baxter.
We don't know each other.
No, those were very inspirational words. I hope that your Navy people appreciate what a good leader you are and like how compassionate and empathetic you are, because that is such a rare quality to find in leaders nowadays. Usually, you know, it's like the power hungry, like I'm a commander, you know, you are beneath me kind of situation. Not saying that our commanders are like that, but I've come across many. So it is very therapeutic to see good leaders that still exist. So
well, thank you.
I can't speak for your Navy people, but thank you.
Yeah. What made you join the Navy and what did you, you know, what was your journey? Like, what were you doing and stuff leading up until now?
I actually didn't know what I wanted to be when I joined the Navy. I was in college. I didn't like the school I was at. And I applied for a a scholarship to get the Navy to pay for college. And luckily enough, I had no idea at the time, but one of my old wrestling coaches was actually working at a local ROTC unit, ROTC unit. That's our Reserve Officer Training Corps. I think you guys have those too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was a lieutenant there, saw my name on the list, and because he knew me from high school wrestling, actually gave me the scholarship and told me he knew I'd be a good candidate because I work hard and I had the grades and the GPA. I met all the requirements for it. And so I was very fortunate in that aspect. And so when I got to college, I didn't know what paths you could take. And I ended up taking the surface warfare officer route. So that's like the folks that are on the destroyers, cruisers, driving ship drivers pretty much for the Navy.
You drove a ship?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, yeah. Well,
no, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
What?
I wasn't like.
Why did I not know this?
I wasn't physically like holding the wheel. I was giving commands to the helmsman, but yeah, we were qualified surface warfare officers. We learned to fight and drive the ships out to sea.
That's nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
I did, and then after I got there, after I did that for 4 years, I went to DC for a pay and policy tour, which was a good time. I love DC. And then while I was there, my section head, who was, you know, like my direct supervisor, she was a human resource officer. And she invited me to a couple mentoring sessions that the HR community was holding, invited me to a couple of breakfasts they were doing. And then actually they suggested that I put in a package. And, you know, so that's what I did. And I got picked up. And so I transferred out of the SWO community into the human resource officer community, and I've been doing that ever since, and I love it.
Really?
Yep.
My mind is blown right now. Like, I always knew that Navy people, like if you're on a submarine, and I only know this from my little brother being a submariner, you're also, you know, the chef. You're also a firefighter if a fire breaks out on the ship, right?
Yeah, firefighter. Everyone's a firefighter on the ship, but yeah. not a chef. There's rates for that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. There's what we call culinary specialists, CSs. They do all the cooking.
Gotcha.
But firefighting for sure. So that's you know, that's our biggest threat out to sea is a fire on board. So
yeah,
because you can't go anywhere. So,
right.
Yeah, you gotta definitely fight that fire and all that good stuff. So.
So there's other things that y'all do that, like, when you're on a ship, like, everybody's responsible for, or is it just firefighting?
So everyone has their own rates,
mm-hmm.
So their own specific jobs for their division that they do to do their part to take care of the ship and to yeah. make sure it's ready to go fight.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Kind of like a MOS, we call it a rate.
So it'd be like us just throwing people from every squadron onto a giant watercraft, and just everybody does their own job, except if a fire breaks out, guess what? You're all firefighters. Congratulations.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So like, you guys have your squadrons with the jets, but then you got the maintenance folks.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. So it's like everyone does their own little piece to make sure that the jets are ready to fight.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works for our ships and our subs and our aircraft carriers and all that kind of stuff. It's a little different structure.
So you were just a college student floating through college, not knowing what you wanted to really do.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're the XO of a whole Navy base.
Pretty much, yeah.
What?
God is good. Yeah, that's. And the leaders I've had the opportunity to work with have been phenomenal, which is why I'm still in the Navy. And so I just enjoy what I'm doing. I had no idea I was going to do this job, or no idea I was going to come here. Before this, I was at Air Command Staff College in Montgomery getting. Yeah. Getting my second master's done, so that was great. And before that, I was in Navy Talent Acquisition Group Atlanta, doing recruiting for Alabama, Georgia, and the Panhandle of Florida. And that was that was my first HR job, so that was great. And but yeah, so it's been good. I have not had a bad job. I've enjoyed everywhere I've been. Meet great people like Miss Jensen. So, but yeah, no, it's been good. I've had fun.
That's nuts. I can't believe I didn't know. Your bio does not say that, by the way. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, yeah.
It says a bunch of jargon, like fancy jargon. And I'm like, I have no idea. I'm Air Force and my Navy brain does not compute. So I had no idea what I was reading. Nice. As Air Force personnel, we do not grasp the concept of being on a ship for months on end.
Mm-hmm.
What is that like?
It's not bad. I mean, you get into a routine. You do pull in every few days. It just depends on what your mission is. But you do get to see a lot of different countries, which is why I joined. I love to travel. And so when I was initially thinking about what I wanted to do, that's why I applied for the scholarship. Was, hey, it's a job that'll pay me. You know, I can progress. And I'm also going to get to travel and see the world. So my dad was a DK-1 in the Navy, which is a dispersing clerk. And they got rid of that right now. But all the places he used to travel made me want to go see some of those places. And so I loved it. So
every stop that you guys make, you're allowed to get off and go explore?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. What's the coolest place that you've stopped at?
The coolest place?
Or your favorite place?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my favorite place is Suda Bay, Greece.
Oh.
Which I just
What?
Yeah.
The Navy's going to Greece?
We've been there. We had a deployment to the Med, and we had been going so much. I just found like my local spots, and it just grew on me. So Suda Bay is one of those places I love, and then Rota, Spain is also amazing. Yeah, those two places I probably would be my favorites.
Meanwhile, we're going to the deed.
Yeah. Well, my brother was a crew chief out in Mountain Home, and he got deployed to Korea and Djibouti and Hawaii. And I was like, dang. Well, the deployment to Hawaii, I told him that doesn't count.
Yeah, no, that's not. It's not a deployment. That's a vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's be realistic.
It's kind of the same with Korea, yeah.
Yeah, is it? Okay.
Well,
yeah.
It depends on what location in Korea. Thank you. We've discussed this already. You either go to Osan and you're loving your life, or you're at Kunsan and you're like, what the heck did I just walk into?
Okay, I've never been there.
I loved Kunsan, so.
Yes, of course you would. Of course you would. I can't believe you're going to Greece. I know, like, my little brother would get off at Hawaii on his sub stuff, but
yeah, that's a tough life.
Yeah,
that's a tough life. I don't know a lot about it, but just yeah, we definitely get to see a lot more than they do, that's for sure.
Yeah. He said like they would surface just to get like fresh oxygen, you know, but also I've heard some really funny stories because my brother was like the dude version of me, but 6'4". But he would tell us like all these, he couldn't tell us where he was going, obviously.
Right.
But he would tell us like all the awesome stops. And I would be like, really? He's like, yeah, but I'm also 6'4" in a submarine.
Yeah.
Do you know how awful that is? And I'm like, but you chose it.
Yeah.
You did that.
That I don't understand. I'm like, why would you?
No. Yeah, like you're just walking through life with your head cocked at a 90-degree angle to get through the doorways. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah, you probably can't stretch out in your bunk.
No.
You can't, no. Yeah.
He said that his bunk was literally on top of like a nuclear missile. And I was like, that's nuts. Yeah. No, I've seen it. So yeah. That's crazy.
No, I did that for 3 days when I was in college. And I was like, no, thanks. I'm good.
Yeah. And he went to school for a ridiculous amount of time.
Oh, yeah. It's a tough pipeline.
Yeah.
Hats off to those guys.
Yeah. And he would show me his, I don't know what you guys call it, but we call it our CDCs, our career development.
Course.
So he was probably going through A school, then prototype and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know?
But yeah, so.
But he had like 3 different tech schools just mm-hmm. for nuclear sub missile tech.
Yep.
So, yeah. No, I don't envy you guys. And my dad was a CB. So equivalent for us Air Force is Red Horse. So like when anything bad would happen over in the Middle East, my dad was the first team to go out because he had to set up the water supply. He had to start building shelters for people.
Mm.
So CBs, they're pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And Red Horse. Like hats off to them because I couldn't do that. Because while they're building these shelters and everything, what are they living in? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah.
They don't have anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they build theirs first. They have to.
I mean, yeah. Theirs probably is like a mansion compared to all the things they build for everybody else. But yeah.
I'm excited for the work I'm going to. It's in the N1 world, it's a human resourcing work, working for our My Navy Portal shop, from what I understand. And My Navy Portal is just it's basically a website and an app that we house all of our websites and services for sailors under.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I think it's gonna have to deal with maintaining that and making it better. So
that's definitely a spin from being XO, huh?
It is, but that's honestly, I think that's the best part of the Navy and human resourcing work for me is, you know, I get bored quick.
Yeah. And
so getting a new job, you know, new location, all that stuff, I enjoy that. So.
So how far away is this place from the Pentagon?
Probably a few minutes.
Oh.
Yeah.
So is it near Bowling? Or
no? It's in Arlington. It's like maybe, I mean, probably a 10-minute bus ride.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's close.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I've been to the Pentagon. It's cool on the inside and all that, but I'm glad to be working where I am. Parking was terrible.
Your words are so well-mannered compared to my words about the Pentagon. I thought the people there were fantastic, but the thought, like, I'm a person that has to have a window or some means of quick escape. In the Pentagon, I was walking at least half a mile just to go either to a bathroom or B, to go outside. And I was like, I felt like I was in prison. I am so sorry to the Pentagon people, but that is not for me. That is not my cup of tea.
That's part of my reason too. I saw the parking lot and I was just like, no way.
Do they still make you swim at basic training?
I've never been to basic training.
Yeah.
But I think they do. I think they do the jump in the pool.
Mm. Yeah. Just a jump? Do you have to tread water or something?
I did in college, yeah. I mean, you got to get your second class swim qual done. I think it's third class in boot camp.
I feel like if you're getting stationed on ships and stuff, which is pretty much almost everybody, you probably know how to swim.
I mean, like, you'd be surprised. What if you can't swim though?
They have good instructors. They get you to pass.
Oh, they teach you.
Yeah, they teach you in boot camp. Yeah, they teach you, and they get you through it. Now, how many people practice after that is, I don't know. But I mean,
let's be honest. Like, if you fall off an aircraft carrier, what are the odds that you're just gonna just hang out until someone come and picked you up? You know what I mean?
Well, it's not even that. Like, I know sometimes, like when the ship's right in the middle of the ocean, they'll drop anchor and everybody can jump in the water and
swim call. Yeah,
swim. Yeah,
yeah, we will do that. That's pretty fun.
Is it fun or is it cold? Because that just sounds ice cold to me.
Both. But it's fun. I mean,
you say it's
how many people can like say they, you know, swam in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean or Pacific Ocean,
yeah,
stuff like that. And it's pretty cool. I think it's fun.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
People should definitely enlist in the Navy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you want to see the
world.
Air Force.
Yeah.
And the Air Force.
Air Force, if you want to see Djibouti, Africa. If you want to see the world, come join the Navy.
How dare you, Brandon?
That's funny because I've been deployed to Djibouti before.
How did I know that? No, it's all good.
No, I explained to Alvarez, like, had I not joined the Air Force, like, that was the only way I was getting to college, right? Like, I knew my family was not well enough off that they need to be paying thousands of dollars for my education.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do it my own way.
Same, yeah.
And had I not joined, I'd be in a pretty bad place. Like, I was hanging out with the wrong kind of people, you know, to succeed in life. So it saved my life. But
there you go.
And not everybody has a positive experience. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it is. Yeah, so, I understand.
But
it's unfortunate it happens that way sometimes.
Yeah. But for some of us, we are grateful for the military. Sergeant Alvarez?
I am. I'm grateful.
Are you?
I'm grateful for everything I was able to do and see, and I'm ready to move on.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah? What's your origin story?
My origin story?
Yeah. Why, did you join right out of high school or what?
I tried out a year of college, and then kind of same thing, like, wasn't really for me, so... I originally wanted to join the Army, but my family talked me out of it and ended up joining the Air Force.
Thank God.
And then, afterwards, like,
no offense, Army.
My dad and my cousins and everybody else who was in the Army were making fun of me for joining the Air Force, even though they told me not to join the Army.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Of
so, course. Yeah.
Nice. What'd you go to school for? What were you?
I was going to school for criminal justice degree because I wanted to do federal law enforcement.
Okay.
But yeah, once I showed up to college and it was like high school 2.0, doing all like the science, math, mm-hmm. all the other things that aren't relevant to a criminal justice degree, I was like,
those gen eds, yeah. Yeah. Just got to push through. Absolutely.
I always wanted to be a broadcaster. Literally since high school, I was taking photos, doing graphic design, and take note, I was president of our TV club.
So what what turned you on to that? What made you want to do that?
Because in this, I was always very, very creative. Like, I was always making weird things out of, you know, anything I get my hands on. And I was never really good at art, you know, mm-hmm. like painting, drawing. But on the computer and photography, I know visually what I want and I know what looks good. So yeah. That was my means of being creative.
Nice.
But I was also pretty good at it too, so yeah, I just stuck with it. I wanted to be on camera, mm-hmm. but they shut me down at recruitment and they were like, your voice is a little too raspy to be a broadcaster. And I was like, cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a criteria.
Yeah, you had to audition back in the day. Dang. Voice audition. They gave you the stupid newscast that you had to read like on camera and they're like, yeah, no, you're not good for that, but we'll put you behind a camera. I was like, wow.
So you joined the Air Force. What pushed you to the Air Force? Because your older brother was already in the Navy, right? Or younger brother?
No, so little brother.
Okay. Okay.
My dad being a CB for 20 yeah. years was like, absolutely not, you're not doing anything but the Air Force.
Oh, okay. Because, so dad pushed you in there.
Yeah. He's like, they get the best things. They are spoiled. And that is the only place you're going to thrive. And I was like, okay. Nice. So I listened. My nice. Little brother, not so much. He didn't listen. And then he got stuck on submarines.
Hey, it's a cool job, though.
Yeah. And you have to be, you know, it was kind of flattering because you have to be super smart to be a nuclear, you know, whatever super. The heck he is.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, everybody, that will wrap it up for today's episode. ExoBaxter, we want to thank you so much for stopping by. We know it's a long journey from PCB over here, but we appreciate you sharing your Navy knowledge, and we hope to have you on again, maybe, before you leave, maybe.
All right, thank you. I appreciate the time.